Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
You're listening to a podcast from The Word.
Traditionally, the way that we used to start Word podcasts back in the day was we'd just start talking, and then Fraser, who was usually the engineer at that time, would just start recording, and then we'd fade it up.
You would magically find that you were suddenly joining a conversation that appears to have been going on indefinitely.
And that's how we used to do it at the end, pretty much, as well.
And at the end, it used to fade out. Again, giving the impression that the conversation was going to go on for eternity.
Which, as we're now proving, it has been going on for eternity. And it's returning through the magic of Clean Feed.
The Word Podcast, walking the digital dog since 2007.
We, Mark and Ellen and I, who started off recording this podcast many, many years ago, I shudder to think how many years ago, long before the vogue for podcasting.
We used 15 to record years ago?
At least, I would have thought.
Something like that, yeah.
We used to do it with two cocoa tins and a bit of string, didn't we? That was the joke. All our references, I realise...
In adjacent trees, that's right, yes. Yeah.
All our references kind of take you eventually back to Richmond Crompton's Just William stories, I think, which, you know, I don't think mean anything to anybody under the age of 65. But anyway, we started off with two cocoa tins and a bit of string, and now we've got a far superior version of that, which is something called Clean Feed. And so I'm speaking to you from my luxurious book-lined study in North London. And Mark Ellen is speaking to us from where?
My slightly less luxurious but still book-lined den in Chiswick, on a very sunny, gorgeous day. Looking out the window to the eerily quiet world outside, and it is, in fact, a gorgeous spring day.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's lovely.
Yeah.
And we just thought, partly because we had nothing better to do, that we ought to bring you up to date with what's going on in Word in Your Ear, Word podcast land, in the light of the current unpleasantness.
I love that expression.
The unpleasantness.
That's good.
There's loads of wartime metaphors being, you know, naturally, people are naturally reaching for them, aren't they? You know, I've started using the expression for the duration.
Yeah, for the duration.
Which is people, what book. People used to say during the Second World War, didn't they? Well, I'm just doing this for the duration. Anyway, so obviously the first thing, we had to cancel the upcoming Word in Your Ear with Paul Gorman talking about his Malcolm McLaren book, which is very sad that we had to do that, but obviously it goes without saying we had to do that, and we've refunded people's money, and I hope that's all worked out fine, and we'll, you know, maybe we'll reschedule at some point in the future. But we've been looking at the whole archive of the podcast and thinking it could do with a bit of a spring clean. Haven't we thought that, Mark?
That's absolutely. Well, we have time, don't we?
We do have time.
The one resource we all have is absolutely immeasurable amounts of time.
So we're going to do a certain amount of that, and you're probably wondering, dear listener, how you could help in this process. Well, fear not, because there are a couple of ways that you could help us, and you could use the time that you have on your hands to help us. I realise we don't say this often enough when we do the Word in Your Ear recordings in Islington, because we're very involved with, you know, the occasion and so forth. But we do really appreciate it when people post some kind of favourable comment about the podcast on iTunes or anywhere else appropriate, because, you know, that kind of thing, it really counts. And there have probably been occasions in the past when you thought, I must get round to doing that. Well, now is the time.
Now's your chance.
Now's your chance. You write a really long comment, a really glowing comment. You know, please go into as much detail as you want. You've got nothing better to do. Get on and do that, and we would really appreciate it if you did that.
And also tell us which ones that you've liked, recommend ones that you've, from our vast collection, our backlog of podcasts, that you really like. I mean, people who come to the event in Islington are always saying, it's really touching, actually. There are people who've listened to every single one, aren't they, Dave? There were two people, I think, who've listened to every single one in chronological order. And they're always saying, oh, you must hear the Tom Dolby one, or you must hear the Martin Fry, or the Claire Grogan, or the Danny Baker, or whatever. So, you know, just tell us which ones you liked, what number they are, and recommend them.
You know, it reminds me of the great old line that Bette Midler used to use all the time whenever she got really fulsome applause. She used to wait until it died down, and then she'd say, my, you people must be starved for entertainment.
That's right.
It's a great line. It's a great line.
But it's very touching. And I think a lot of people listen abroad, actually. Lots of people listen abroad, and they just like the sound of English voices talking about the Clash and various cultural references that they can key into.
Do you remember that guy who got in touch absolutely years ago? And we do appreciate really hearing from anybody about how they've listened to the word podcast, or, you know, what they particularly like about it. Do you remember that guy who got in touch who was... I always had a vision of him on the bridge of some massive super tanker which was ploughing through the South China Sea in the middle of the night. You know, he was the only person on watch, and he would be listening to the word podcast while, you know, directing this massive craft through... difficult waters.
Hopefully not being too severely distracted.
I just love the idea of that, you know, that you just listen to these guys just burbling on endlessly in the fashion cupboard back at the office. So, you know, if you've gone through anything and anything struck you about the old podcast, please do get in touch and tell us. The email, and forgive me, this is a little bit of a complicated email, but, you know, it is WIYE, which stands for Word in Your Ear, WIYE.london@gmail.com. That address again, as they say on the radio, WIYE.london@gmail.com. And if you didn't catch that, I think we're going to try and include a link there in the show notes accompanying this podcast.
The word podcast. It passes the time.
Anyway, Mark, I'm going to ask a question at the risk of sounding like a pervert. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? I'm not, if that's what you think. I'm not in a kind of a stained T-shirt with a kind of old pair of boxer shorts on. No, I'm fully dressed. I'm wearing a green cotton shirt and a pair of jeans and some shoes. And, you know, I'm functioning as normal. I mean, I guess half the world probably doesn't get out of their pyjamas, do they? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You see, I'm quite...
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms, actually. But they're quite smart. And a sweater and a T-shirt and... But I'm quite used to working from home. And I'm a great believer. You know Peter Robinson, who used to occasionally contribute to Word.
Yeah.
Peter Robinson, who's a really good writer. I'm very...
Terrific writer.
Very abreast of... If you want to know what's in the chart this week and why, Peter's the man to tell you. But he used to say that he didn't think it was right to work at home unless you put proper shoes and socks on.
I think that's right. There's a psychology. A lot of freelancers will tell you that you must get out of your pyjamas or your nightie or whatever. You can't make business calls when still wearing a dressing gown. It's just you're not in the right kind of psychological headspace.
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, because people like you and I, who've done a lot of writing at home and been at home and written books and things like that, the whole idea of self-isolating is not a new thing at all. We're quite used to it, aren't you? Everyone else is sort of, you know, you meet when you're wandering around the block on the rare occasions you're allowed to do that now. They're all a bit sort of alarmed about being at home. But we've been there for years, Dave, haven't we?
We're
old pros.
It's been very weird for me the last few months because I've been completing a book, and all the time you're working on the book, all your reading is pretty much towards the book, you know, and all you're thinking about every day is what you've got to do, and you know, you're ploughing towards a deadline which you're determined to meet and so forth. And so during that time, which kind of took me, you know, either side of Christmas, you know, November, December, January, all through that time, I was thinking one thing, which was, when this is over, when I've got this done, I'll be able to read books and spend a bit of time listening to records. I never
dreamed. And what joy, that time is here.
I never dreamed it would arrive in this particular show.
I know, in this fashion, I know.
So
it's compulsory.
Yeah. So what are you reading? What have you been? Have you been reading?
What have I been reading? I've just been reading Krakatoa by Simon Winchester, which is fantastic.
Oh, I read that years ago.
Oh my lord, it's fantastic! I think I must have read it years ago. So a couple of really amazing. It's a book about, as you'll remember, it's a book about the volcanic explosion of 1883, and there's two extraordinary things. Well, there's so many extraordinary things. One is that the Morse code has just been invented, and a cable has been laid across the Atlantic. And so
under.
When Krakatoa, across the Atlantic. And so when the volcano erupted, the news of Krakatoa spread across the world within 24 hours because of Morse code and because of, you know, it could get to America. And it was the first kind of international news story that was immediate. It's really interesting that. So the moment it happened, the whole world knew about it. And the other extraordinary thing is that they had all these extraordinary sunsets, these vivid red sunsets. Do you remember? Because all this kind of cloud and effluent had gone so high up into the strata, the atmosphere, and had caught the setting sun, and it made these vivid pink and red sunsets all over the world. And that's why the colour of Munch's The Scream is that, you know, that painting. Well, if you look at the background,
yes.
He remembers those sunsets that happened all over the world, all over America. People, these extraordinary sunsets. It's absolutely amazing book. I've been rereading bits of Broken Greek by Pete Perfidis too, which is so funny. Which we did a podcast on recently. Meeting the Baron Knights. It's a great moment. And we've started doing a thing with our old pals across the road where we're trying to watch movies simultaneously and then talk about them afterwards on Zoom. This is the new thing. So we can't actually watch the films together, but we can watch them in the same time. And then discuss them. And I've been listening to the Adam Buxton podcast. I don't know if you know those. Those are absolutely brilliant. Adam Buxton, who prefaces whoever he's going to talk to with a little ramble across the, I think, Norfolk countryside with his dog, describing the person he's going to talk to. There's a great one with Chris Morris, two-parter. Great one, Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer.
The best of the lot
is the Louis Theroux. If anybody's never heard the Adam Buxton podcast, listen to the one with Louis Theroux, where he starts singing "Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie," and it's just—I think it's genuinely one of the funniest things I have ever heard in my life. Superb,
very good.
And I've been listening to the Dylan's "Travelling Through" a lot, which is great. Which is the new new one from the bootleg series with his John Wesley Harding outtakes. That is fantastic. What about you, anyway? What have you been on?
It's funny you should talk about Krakatoa, Simon Winchester, because I did read that years ago. I'd have to dig it out. And but my favourite Simon Winchester, which I do heartily recommend to anybody, is The Surgeon of Crowthorne.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
And if read the opening, the introduction of The Surgeon of Crowthorne, it's the best introduction to any non-fiction book I've ever read. I won't attempt to do it here. But if you have a copy, I hope you have a copy, you know, if you're somewhere, I don't know, it's probably on Amazon Kindle or something like that. It's absolutely fantastic. It's subtitled, I think it's subtitled, A Tale of Murder, Madness, and the Oxford English Dictionary.
That's right, that's right.
Which is
incredible book.
Now,
What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to... I'm going to plug my book, actually. My book, A Fabulous Creation, which is about the LP record, is coming out in paperback next week. And but one of the things I say in that book towards the end of it is that it's very difficult to have the LP experience. in this day and age, because you can have all the equipment and you can have the records and you can go and buy yourself a record deck and all that stuff. But if you're going to put an LP on, you first of all have to persuade yourself that you have nothing better to do for the next 35 or 40 minutes. And that's the thing that I think people have difficulty with nowadays. Well, in the current situation, it could be the habit of listening to an LP might be just the ticket to kind of occupy your day in, you know, 35, 40 minute slots, you know. So I've been playing a lot of LPs, that, you know, by LPs I mean actual records, and I actually started posting on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at D Hepworth, I think. And I post one a day,
I've seen them, they're brilliant. Yeah.
And with a little comment about them. And people have really taken to this, you know. And so people say, oh, well, I'm going to get that out, you know. So the record that's actually hit the spot most with me recently, the single track, because I was talking to Alex Gold about this, is a song, a Ronnie Lane song called Annie, which is on a record he made with Pete Townsend called Rough Mix.
Yeah.
And it's just an absolutely beautiful, plaintive love song. And dear God, Ronnie Lane is one of those people that the more time goes on, the greater I think he was. You know what I mean? I probably didn't appreciate him at the time when he was making these records, the Slim Chance records in the 70s and so forth. And now I play these records all the time. But anyway,
it's a really extraordinary life, doesn't he?
The
moment where he meets a girl, doesn't he? And they kind of fall instantly in love and kind of elope together in it. I'm not sure if I'm mistaken to think there's a gypsy caravan involved.
He left the Faces, who at the time were one of the biggest groups in the world, and went off and decided he was going to tour in a gypsy caravan.
That's right.
How do you think that turned out, readers? You know, but anyway,
we're still talking about it now.
He made some great records. And the other thing, the other record, actually, the record of the week, and I'm looking at the cover right now, because it came out 50 years ago, just about this time, is Joni Mitchell's Ladies of the Canyon.
What a fantastic record.
Which is, of course, all Joni Mitchell records, particularly from this time, are all absolutely extraordinary. And I was thinking about this because this was the year when Rolling Stone magazine, when they did the roundup of the year at the end of 1970, they described her as, I think they said, Old Lady of the Year.
That's right.
Which is rather, you know, disrespectful way of alluding to the fact that she appeared to have had
an exciting romantic love life, wasn't it?
A busy love life with very well-known, you know, musicians.
Yeah. Unbelievably unkind.
Unbelievably unkind. But, you know, I was listening to this record, which, of course, has got, you know, lots of her best-known songs on here. Big Yellow Taxi's on there and the Circle Game and things like Woodstock's on there, her version of Woodstock, because it was just the year after Woodstock. But you've been listening to it as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely amazing record. I can remember here. I think I was 15 when it came out, and I can remember being astonished by little phrases like "waiting for the walking green." Do you remember that?
Yes.
Not understanding what that meant, and also being really amazed by the fact that she was nobody at that time had ever apologised for their success. Pop musicians were always kind of you know they were just trying to achieve as much fame and riches and notoriety as possible. And there she was, sort of feeling shrugging and being embarrassed about the fact she was so successful when this guy's playing the clarinet in the street in Paris for free. And the opening line to the priest, do you remember that? The priest sat in the airport bar, he's wearing his father's tie. I mean, there's so much information in that. It's like the opening to a novel. This is the woman who later on wrote lines as great as On Harry's House and Hissing of Summer Lawns. A helicopter lands on the Pan Am roof like a dragonfly
like
on a tomb.
Like a dragonfly on a tomb.
Absolutely brilliant. And I think, and I got sidetracked from listening to the record to, we must come back to the record in a moment, but I got sidetracked actually by going to that clip of her on the Dick Cavett show, which you can find on YouTube where, you know, she's not been allowed by her manager to go to Woodstock and perform. She's had to stay and do the Dick Cavett show. And Steve Stills and Crosby and the Jefferson Airplane have come back from the battlefront and are reporting on it. And it's extraordinary to watch this sort of terrible kind of expression where she's just so miserable that she wasn't able to go, but then wrote the great song about it, having never attended.
You sent me
that fantastic piece in Rolling Stone, a review in Rolling Stone, which I was really impressed about, because if you think that the music press in Britain at the time, you and I have often talked about that review of Sergeant Pepper in 1967, you know, a piano is much in evidence here, and I smiled at the rhyming of Rita and parking meter. It's a saucy song with a jog beat, which will get your toes a-moving, you know. Now, that was only a few years before they're writing here, the American press, about, you know, about Ladies of the Canyon, with a real understanding. And so much enthusiasm for what she did. An album of departures, overheard conversations and unquiet triumphs for this hymnal lady who mingles the random with the particular so effectively. And they talk about her enigmatic poetic word journeys. They really, really get the measure of her and the technical ability that she had to play. You know, how phenomenally accomplished she was. But it's also interesting that they still talk about her in terms of the ladies of folkdom. So it's Buffy St. Marie,
they also call
Judy Collins.
They also call her a chick singer, don't they?
A chick singer, yeah. It's a chick folk singer, that's right. But they talk about the women as separate from the men. You could just as easily compare her to Leonard Cohen or Paul Simon or James Taylor or whatever, but they don't. It's all about, is she better than Buffy St. Marie, Judy Collins, or Joan Baez? It's quite interesting, really. Yeah, they're just in their own little sort of area, you know. What did you think of listening to it again?
This was the year also, and I found that, and we'll post this link, I think, on the show notes, when she came over to London and she filmed a BBC kind of special. These used to be made by a guy called Stanley Dorfman for the BBC, and he made, during this period, he made similar programmes with Carol King, with James Taylor, with Neil Young, or Cat Stevens, all the kind of singer-songwriters of the time, and they were all incredibly simple programs where they just sat in a studio with a small audience of what looked like junior college lecturers, you know, rather serious young men in kind of corduroy trousers. Yeah, a lot of cardigans,
a lot of corduroy trousers available.
Girls with curtains of hair, you know, and they just played, and of course. Here's the funny thing that strikes you when you look at these films, because there was no post-production jiggery pokery. You know, that's what they did. They sat there and they played, and my God, they were good. God, she's good. She's unbelievable.
You know? I couldn't agree more. It's the technical ability. You know, there's a bit where she plays California, and she's playing an instrument which I'm fairly sure is called an Appalachian dulcimer.
Dulcimer,
incredibly hard to play. You know, her piano playing is phenomenal. The guitar playing. I only discovered, interesting pop fact. Well, interesting to me actually, that you know you never hear covers of Joni Mitchell songs. Can you think of anyone who's covered a Joni Mitchell song?
Very rarely. Stills and Nash, I suppose, but go on, yeah.
Very rarely. I think one of the reasons for that is that they're impossibly hard to play, because she invented a lot of her own chords. And the reason she invented her own chords is because when she was young, she had polio. And her left hand was really affected by that. She found it very hard to play certain chords. So she just worked out different open tunings and different chord structures. And so, you know, her songs, part of the reason they sound so different is because she's not using a kind of musical language that everyone else is using.
It's extraordinary to see it.
It's
really worth, and that, you know, that program is there on YouTube, but also all those other ones. The Neil Young one's really good. The Carole King one's really good. Yeah, they were an exceptional generation of musicians. And what they were doing, they were kind of inventing. You know, nobody had done it before. You know, nobody had made a record like Ladies of the Canyon before. You know, you can do it now, but you'll still be harking back.
You'll still be the shadow of Joni Mitchell
that she established. And now the song that struck out for me on the record is Conversation, which is all about fancying this bloke is married.
And, yes.
and about how you know, his wife only brings him out for show, you know, and then whisks him away or whatever. And then everybody in Laurel Canyon must have been thinking, well, who's that about? You know, who's she got her eye on now? It's absolutely.
But also, you used to listen to those songs and think that they're, I'm sure rightly, you think that they were about her real life, which I'd never really felt much with people before. I mean, never felt particularly that the Beatles were writing about their own life. You never felt that Bob Dylan was necessarily writing about his own life. In fact, he was being deliberately vague a lot of the time. But, you know, you felt you knew Joni Mitchell so intimately from what she told you about, you know, relationships with
Well, she was
people.
Pretty specific about loads of them, wasn't he? You know,
yeah.
You know, Willie and My Old Man and Our House.
Yeah, Willie, like was that
Our House is Graham Nash, isn't it?
Yeah,
Willie's Graham Nash. So yeah, that's the one I'm listening to today. It'll be something different tomorrow. But
a really fantastic thing that I recommend to anybody who has time on their hands to watch on YouTube is Joni Mitchell doing her version of Me and My Uncle on the Oscar Brandt show called Let's Sing Out in Canada in 1965. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, it's amazing. She was 21 years old. Before she was kind of signed and before she was successful. And you can just see how breathtakingly good she is. And she's surrounded by all these rather earnest sort of beatnik types with kind of roll-neck sweaters, all just looking up at her in absolute shock and awe. It's really worth it. Just type in Joni Mitchell, Me and My Uncle. It should come up, 1965. It's superb.
Can you believe YouTube? It's just astonishing, isn't it?
No. It's all there.
It is literally...
Anything you think you might want to watch is there.
It's there.
This is a junction in the Word podcast. It separates that bit from this next bit.
So I've been my reading. I'm launching myself on A Dance to the Music of Time by Anthony Powell.
Oh yeah,
he's got a 12. Was it 11 novels or whatever? Which are quite tough, but. I'm determined to crack it this time because Andy Miller of Backlisted, who was our guest on the podcast not long ago, and Andy and John really do read an awful lot of books. And I was talking to Andy afterwards. I said, go on, how do you read so much? And he said, well, one of the things I do is I kind of supplement them with audio books. And so I'll continue listening, you know, while commuting or whatever, I'll listen to the audiobook. So I started listening to the audiobook of Down to the Music of Time, which is read by a fantastic guy called Simon Vance, who's just absolutely amazing. And suddenly, it's amazing how these difficult books open up when somebody reads it to you, you know. And so you then find a way back in to reading the actual thing. And so I've started doing that. So I'll keep you abreast of how I get on.
Brilliant! That's a major challenge. My God.
It's a major challenge. Your wife read it, didn't she? She'd read it recently. She told me not long ago that she'd read it. So I thought I should return. Well, I think we've probably exhausted that seam for now. But if there's anything you want to tell us, suggest we should be doing with our time. Anything you want to suggest about the podcast or anything we do, please get in touch. Please, we'd love to hear from you. I'll repeat that email address once again. wiye.london@gmail.com. But hopefully we'll include a link underneath this podcast and you'll be able to get in touch that way. But, you know, enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes, do.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word.